are tuned in to the Red Pill Hardcore Double Dosage After Show. Double Dosage After Show. After Show. After Show.
After Show.
After Show.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for joining us for the Red Pill Hardcore Double Dosage After Show. That's a long title. A mouthful, because we have a lot to say. So I have, of course, Rob Deves here with us. And joining us tonight again is Melvin Punch.
Yep.
And we have our guest, Kristen T. Harris, with us. And I want to, go to the phone lines. Please, guys, call in. Phone numbers, 800-313-9443. And we'll have a little bit of discussions. I will let Melvin go ahead and jump in here, though, and comment on anything or talk to our guest.
Yes, thank you so much, V. Hello, Mr. Harris. How are you, sir? I did have a question, though. In the introduction, they said that you were a candidate for President of the United States. That's impressive. That really blew me away. Oh, also, I wanted to thank you for your advocacy advocacy for people that are downtrodden and disadvantaged. Also, it's quite impressive that you're going to head out to Minneapolis, you know, boots on the ground over there. That's takes some gumption. But how would someone running for president, how is that actually funded? Is that by donations, or like, is it PACs or self-funded? How would something like that, how did your funding stream originate? Was that basically through donations? I was just curious. Mr. Harris?
Yeah. Hey, sorry, I'm just joining you guys. Which streams are you guys talking about? I just joined you. I apologize.
you ran for president. How did you do that? Did you have funding, donations?
Oh, no. Essentially, my intentions was to run as a third party for the Transhumanist Party, in order to bring awareness to the ethical concerns of things like designer babies, CRISPR gene editing, animal-human hybrids, weather modification, biohacking. We could go, it just goes on and on. There's things like post-genderism, which are incredibly bizarre, which preach removing genders completely through genetic design. There's people that want to put life expectancies built right in. See, the Mark of the Beast is really going to be a line of code, probably just put into your DNA that will allow RFID to upload and download consciousness and to know your thoughts at all times. And I think that's where they're going with it. So that being said, on top of maybe even turning humans into, you know, cryptocurrency miners based on what you learn, what you don't learn, there's all these things out there that people are proposing for a utopian society. Some believe in liberty and freedom, like Zoltan Istvan, and some believe in fully automated luxury communism, which is more of a global elite scary thing. But no, all my whole purpose was to educate people and to be able to speak to important individuals who believe this in Silicon Valley, because the people that are involved in transhumanism, a lot of them are top scientists. A lot of them are just sci-fi nerds, though, too. But having the ability to reach out and get a consensus of what the concerns are with artificial intelligence and all those things, my main purpose was hopefully to win and then develop a college tour where I could go around speaking to colleges and educating the local communities on what transhumanism is and gathering concerns and how we should approach this, because a lot of scientists are doing unethical practices, believing that the ends justify the means.
That's excellent. So basically, you're the anon candidate of choice, in my opinion. You pretty much represented most of the issues that most people in the listening audience, I would assume, you know, are concerned about. And definitely that concerns me. Also, you said that you're headed out to Minneapolis, and you're going to have boots on the ground out in Minneapolis. That's takes some gumption. Are you going there with a team, or are you going by yourself independently? Or?
Well, I'm going by myself, but being a longtime activist, I do know some people out there, and I've been at protests. Being a member of COPLOC, I was at the RNC fiasco, if you remember, the flag burning. I was at the Sherman Park protests when people were being shot and local police were jumping out of bushes in 2016. I've covered a lot of protests involving police brutality, being a COPLOC member, and that was just one of the offshoots of the Rundown Live, and people have met through my activism where I was able to learn how we agree, whether you're right or left. There's things that people just agree on. We all agree police brutality is bad, that there's an overreach. Conservatives are more afraid in the religious aspect of overreach of police and police state, as where liberals are more worried about the racial aspect. I think that if we can find a way to find a common ground and come together instead of causing division all the time, and we need to have a civil conversation, and we can't have that when we have all these microaggressions. Everything is something to be offended about. You know, I'm offended just, being late on this, call. You know, it's just crazy. It's just crazy how people are easily offended by things you do. You know, you can't pack your lunch in a brown paper bag. Those are the, if you misdiagnose how somebody identifies, that as well can be very offensive. And the issue is have we come to a nation where everyone is walking on eggshells, and everyone's ability to have freedom of speech has really been redirected under the guise of social engineering? And this all stems back to the magic behind words. If you remember, the first time anything was written down in Egyptian mythology was the Egyptian god, Thoth, or Thoth as in thinking, and as although, he wrote down rituals, and he wrote down the symbols, and when you write symbols together, it's called spelling. The reason why it's called spelling is because you are casting a spell. That's why when you stitch those symbols together, it's called a curse. It's cursed. And grammar, if you look at the archaic sense, the term grammar, also related to glamour, is the laws in which magic works by. So when you control definitions of words, you control thought, and you can manipulate things like it's magic.
Very interesting. You're very articulate, and you're concise and right to the point. I did want to, when I was listening to the previous show, and I don't know if it was you, V, or Rob, you mentioned that if Jesus were to come amongst us today, he'd probably be banned from the church. I thought that was a quite interesting comment. But in my opinion, if Jesus were to come among us, walks among us today, he'd probably be looked upon as being some sort of a hippie or a homeless person. And he'd probably become a victim of police brutality himself. The cops would probably lay right into him. You know, a man of peace. I mean, this guy in Minneapolis, he's sitting in his vehicle, irregardless of the reason why the police responded. I think someone said it was because of a forgery.
Yeah, you see, it was a forgery charge, supposedly. We don't have presumed innocence anymore. You know, it used to be, could you come down to the station? We have a warrant. Now it's a keep your hands where I can see you. You know, totally, brutally forced to the ground. You know, you don't even have an opportunity to go to your knees with your hands in the air. You are put down. So I don't know what kind of training officers get about, you know, arresting somebody. Or we're all assumed to be like some super strong wrestlers that everybody's going to fight them. I really don't know what kind of training they get or who's giving them that training that says this is how you detain somebody. And all, there is not, would you come along peacefully here? I'm going to put my cuffs on you, you know, and allow somebody to be a good person and turn themselves in, come down to the station. Where, you know, it's none of that anymore. It's all brutality. It's all, I'm showing visible force to a crowd so that if, when it's their turn, they'll respect my authority. Kind of like from South Park kid that used to say. It's absolutely gone for lack of a better word, it's insane. It is an insanity. It's allowing their testosterone to overcome their logic. That's when I seen what happened. So I actually watched the film of him being killed yesterday. It's really, really troubled me after that. It lowered me greatly. I actually went and laid down afterwards because when you're hearing somebody begging for their life and that they can't breathe and it not being allowed even to the guy to move his knee somewhere else. You know, he just did not. And of course, he got sacked, but he still, he represented the authority at the time. He was the visible show of what police will do to you. And I tell you, I've been pulled over a few times in my life, and I'm very nervous. If I was pulled over by the highway patrol over on back road, North Carolina, for speeding or something, I was nervous. And they say, "Why are you so nervous?" I said, "Because I hear stories about what happens to people that you arrest, and I get very nervous." You know, we shouldn't be nervous when we're pulled over, questioned about something. You know, it might be just a taillight out, or they might be wanting to ask you, have you seen a blah, blah, blah crime occur? You know, but we automatically assume we're about to get put under the jail. You know, so that is a Southern term, is when we get pulled over. See, what happened to George yesterday could be any of us. And we do not have presumed innocence anymore. And an officer of the law, instead of being an administrator, is how V put it, has become the judge, jury, and executioner. And that's just unacceptable power given to that authority.
Well, I feel the police officers have become much more aggressive as of late than they've been in previous years. Or maybe it's just becoming more publicized, the injustices that they have no reservations about shooting a youth, a woman. There was an incident a few months ago where it was a pregnant woman, I think it was Nevada, and she's screaming out, "I'm pregnant, I'm pregnant." And the police officer he pumped 3 shots right into her like he was shooting at a target. I don't know if, you know, when you pin on that badge, does that dehumanize you somehow? Does that somehow take away your compassion or your sense of justice or fairness or caring for another human being? How can you just cold-bloodedly execute someone like that and just not feel any remorse whatsoever? I seen a very interesting study not too long ago that I think it was the Justice Department has said that a lot of the law enforcement agencies across the country are being infiltrated by, sad to say, Ku Klux Klansmen and Nazis. They are now the police officers, the same, white robe wearing, hood wearing guys. Now they're wearing blue uniforms and they got badges on. But if you think back to how things were in the 50s, it was the same thing. Most of the mobs that were going to grab the individuals and lynch them or burn them, it was led by police officers. That was in the Deep South. So it seems like that type of mentality has kind of brought itself north in this modern KKK, sad to say.
They do a lot of recruiting from the military, from what I understand. And if you take a kid who's just come out of a war zone where they have to suspect even a child coming up to them as being booby-trapped, and they have certain tactics of kicking down the door and aiming the barrel simultaneously, the whole what can possibly go wrong is going wrong in America with this mentality of shoot first, ask questions later. I've read about policies of, I can't prove it.
Well, they're supposed to do a psychological
review. Better for them to shoot and kill than it is to leave a person that they shot alive, because then they will get in trouble. They themselves will be held accountable to the law. And an officer of the law should always be held accountable to the very law they're upholding. Otherwise, it's a hypocrisy, isn't it?
The other part of that, just to go with Melvin's question, who these people think they are. Listen, it's like when they say about Anonymous, you give a guy a mask and you'll hear honesty from him. Give a cop a badge and you're going to see who this person really is.
truth.
Well, they've been farmed this way too. It isn't completely like these people are really being attracted to these jobs as much as people who are qualified to do anything else are not being hired. There was an article in the early 2000s called Too Smart to Be a Good Cop, where somebody who tested too high in the IQ test wasn't hired, and it turned out that they, in court, that they wouldn't hire anyone that had higher than 100 IQ. And then, after 9/11, they joined training between police, federal officers, and the military to give them military training. And then we started giving them military weapons under a 1033 program and said, hey, look at these toys. You get to play military. And then what kind of people is that going to attract? You know, you're not going to have people that are handing out baseball cards. That's for sure, you know.
Mm. Well, it's definitely a lower denominator of people. And that's not who we want to be our authority. That's for sure.
Absolutely not. No, I'm wondering at what point will civilians start to become like intercede when they see police officers subjecting someone to excessive force like this poor gentleman with the knee on his neck? You know, when are the citizens are going to start intervening in this sort of thing and prevent these police officers from taking another innocent life? What's it going to take? How many more deaths?
That's a good point. People do show up for the riot afterwards in front of the police station when their crowd feels strong and brave. But when is somebody that was filming that on the sidewalk, why didn't he put his phone down or she put her phone down in as a group, put a stop to him kneeling down? They could have detained the subject for him while the officer stood up. The officer was not alone. He did. There was other ways this could have been handled. Now, I know there's good officers out there, but sadly...
You know, they could have far between. That's the problem.
They could have pulled the officer right off of the guy. There was enough people standing around filming the thing. Three or four guys could have grabbed that cop and dragged him right off of that guy. And I mean, yes, they would have been facing criminal charges themselves. But I think that there was a recently passed law that states that citizens do have the right to defend themselves against unjust police action. I mean, cop comes up to me and has his gun drawn and he cocks the trigger and puts it to my head, I'm not going to just stand there with my arms at my side and let him just blow my face off. I'm going to stop him, or at least attempt to. But I mean, do you really have to be put in fear of your life like that before you react? Well, don't people just have a common sense of what's right? Or can't they see if something is occurring in front of them that's unjust, that's injustice, and take steps to prevent it or stop it, intercede? And what about the other police officers that were standing by? They're watching their brother police officer murder someone right in front of them. As far as I'm concerned, they're accessories to murder. They didn't stop them. They didn't say, listen, Joe, guy can't breathe. Why don't you get off his neck and let the guy take it? He's already handcuffed. Let's put him in a car and just take him where he has to go. The cops didn't intercede. They just stood by and let this guy murder them, commit a crime right in front of these police officers, and they did not intercede themselves. Every police officer that was there should be charged with a crime, accessory to murder.
I agree with that 100%. Let's go to the phone lines. I believe we have Frank in New York. Go ahead.
I'm wondering, did you have a chance to look at the face of the cop that was purposely sitting on his neck? Did you look at his face? Did you see the video?
Yes.
He sat on this guy's neck for anywhere from 5 to 8 in minutes, and it was almost as having it looked as almost as he was having a religious or a religious
or something. He was just like he was pleased as pie. That's the impression I got.
He was like
a bully.
Even an erotic experience.
Getting off on it.
Yeah. Now, how do you deal with someone or forces that feel that way and have all the weapons from the state behind. How do you deal with them? Now, I'm going to give you guys a question. Please don't try and wiggle out of it, okay? Ready?
Go ahead, caller.
Okay. First, who would you say, and each person please give their own opinion, who would you say is the most dangerous individual, past, present, or future, to your safety and your family's safety today?
Well, I would say Satan. That's in my opinion. He's the one's causing all the trouble.
Go ahead. Would that be an entity that many would say they don't believe in? I'm talking, how about this? How about some person, particular person?
I think that you are the most threat to yourself by making bad decisions. When it comes down to it, those decisions are what decide the outcome. So what really it is if you make bad decisions, you're the worst enemy to yourself. That's why you need to, make good decisions, well thought out decisions. And I think that's what it comes down to. If you choose to go down a dark path, that's your fault. You know, you're getting what you deserve, but not in all cases is that the case when, you know, people violate our individual freedoms and liberties. But I think either government or yourself are the most dangerous entities to me right now.
Well, I understand where you're coming from with that, but I...
The biggest threat to me right now, Bill Gates, because he's pushing so many policies of harm. He has his fingers in so many corporate pies that can affect me personally, from what I eat, from my freedoms to walk around and not be tracked, from the freedom of not being forced vaccinated. Bill Gates, to me right now, is probably the most dangerous person on this planet.
Okay.
I would have to say... for myself, going along with Rob there, the technocracy, all those involved with the technocracy, the techno magi, okay, these highly developed black ops underground jackasses who are hell bent on world domination.
Okay, well, give me a name. Give me, in your mind, give me who you think that could be crystallized into one person for this question, and you'll see why I'm asking in this way in a second.
For me, Bill Gates is the poster boy from what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Okay, so that's two Bill Gates out of how many guys are in the studio online? Three online?
There's four of us here.
Okay. How about the other two guys? Who would you say? See, it shouldn't be that hard because we have so many things arrayed against us as a nation. It shouldn't be hard. But who would you say would be the two most dangerous entities, individuals, to the existence of who we are?
Well, Mr. Harris stated that he thought it was the individual themselves and the choices that they choose to make or choose not to make. Me,
well,
myself,
yeah, but there has to be an impetus for him to think that way.
I'm sorry?
There has to be some impetus from somewhere that would form him to think that way.
I think he made he elocuted it very good. I think he explained his position very, very good, in my opinion. I don't know.
I think Frank asked us this so that he could tell us who he thinks is the most dangerous person. So, Frank, who do you think is the most dangerous person in the world?
All right, well, okay, a couple of guys are going to skirt out of the issue, but I would say that Adolf Giuliani would be a very dangerous individual. Adolf Giuliani. You can figure out who that is. Okay, now here's the question to all four of you. You're standing on the corner. An intersection, very busy intersection, and those individuals that you say are dangerous to your interests are waiting to cross the street, and they don't see a truck that's coming from the opposite direction, that is ready to take their heads off, knock them off the roadway. And you see it, but they don't. What would you do?
I put on my camera
closer to the truck so I could see the look in their eyes as they oneness shows up and takes them off my plane.
I recorded with my cell phone.
That was my answer too. I whip out my cell phone and record it.
No, seriously though, what would you do?
Seriously.
So you're saying you would allow it to unfold?
Bill Gates ever not without his private security army to check both ways before he crosses the road.
So you would do nothing?
If he was drowning, I'd throw him both ends of the rope. How many people has he damaged? How many people has he killed premeditatedly? No, I would not help him at all. No. He's a bad person.
Probably one of the largest mass murderers.
You know, I look at it the other way. I would attempt to save him because I'm not a judge or a juror, and maybe I could have an opportunity to have a conversation with him. I call it the coming to Jesus conversation, and that, you know, maybe I get an opportunity to make, change people. I think that he could be a very powerful, acquaintance if he changed his ways. I don't think anyone's ever fully lost. Maybe that's the Batman in me, where I believe that there's always some good in individuals, and that I think I can bring them to the light side. But I'm a person that believes that anyone can change. And I think we've seen that. And look at things like Kanye. Who knows? I don't know what his intentions are. But I'm just giving you an example of people that pulled 180s. It's not impossible, but think about what kind of tool he would be if you could save his life and, maybe yell at him or do whatever you can and be able to give a testimony. And you guys can laugh about it, but that's the way I look at it.
I'm laughing only because over the years I've posed this question to at least 20,000-30,000 people, and here's what I've found: that those who answer with a religious bent to their question to the question will say to you, "No, I'm not God, so I won't take a life, and I can't harm a life, and so forth." But how do you know, those who are religious answer the question, how do you know that there isn't a reason that the God that you say you practice doesn't have a larger agenda for this person to leave the planet? You don't know. Now, there are many examples in all religions which say that God, quote-unquote, however we view his deity, would allow certain things to occur for a larger agenda to be brought in. How do we know that? How do we know that saving... Now, in answer to... Because I know you're going to ask me, what would I do? Nothing. Not positive or negative, because I don't know whether this might be part of an agenda, spiritual agenda, cosmic agenda, for a large to be unfolded. How do we know? And especially if I know that the person that I wouldn't push the person out in the front of the truck now. But how do I know that by leaving this scenario the way it is, that I might be impeding or not impeding something else cosmic?
Good point.
Well, I guess that would all depend whether or not you save somebody's life. I guess, then it was... ordained. It depends on the individual, I guess. That's funny.
Even if you do, that person would cause extreme damage to the human family down the road.
I guess that's the D&D carrier. When you played Dungeons and Dragons as a kid, what did you call that? That was called, something good. I forgot what it was called, but it's ultra good and you can't do any harm. A lot of people are like that. I try
lawful
to live
good.
Like that. What was that?
Lawful good.
That's what it was. Lawful good. And unfortunately, some people are lawful good. I'm one of those guys that tries to be. I'm not perfect, and I like to help everyone. If you'd rather watch, sit back, and eat some popcorn, God bless you. I'm not going to hold that against you, but it's my choice. Save the world,
Okay, we got to go commercial break, guys. We'll be right back.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
After about a month of Extendovite, I don't know what it is about the circulation factor. I was able to increase the weight, increase the amount of sets I could do. has to do with the oxygen getting to the blood. You should market this as an athletic performance. And I don't change anything about my diet or anything. I just thought, what the hell is in this stuff? This is amazing. Bilberry extract is got something called resveratrol in it, which is the same stuff that you get from red wine. It's also good for eyesight. And I was reading that the Royal Air Force during World War II would give their pilots bilberry jam so they could have better night vision stuff. This is amazing.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
Yes, it's the Belt Coast After Show. And, yes, you know, we had an interesting discussion there before the break. I'm not quite sure where Frank was going with that, but, you know, it is what it is. So, yeah, I don't know. If I knew Hitler was going to do everything that he did and something, and I knew that there was going to be a meteor that falls out of the sky just to take out the city block that he's on, would I go and warn him? No, not at all. Not at all.
I definitely put a bet on it. I would start betting on sports games and being like, hey, lottery. I like to have the lottery numbers. If I knew the lottery number, I would definitely put down the winning lottery number.
Okay. We still have caller on the line. I wanna know where you're going with that. Go ahead, caller.
Well, the reason why I pose it that way is because people psychologically wiggle out of trying to answer it because it's very uncomfortable. But when the people, I've found that when people are confronted with this, that type of situation where they're looking at the face of someone, like, that one of your panelists said, Bill Gates. I don't want to name some person personally because the situations are always fluid, because one dictator and one enemy right now might not be that you might not feel that way later on. But the point I'm trying to make is that we have to become so informed about what we're dealing with that if we don't, we will wind up with this. And we can't let religion, whatever we choose, and I'm not talking about which is better than the other, but we have to understand there are some questions and decisions we have to make that we can't, and they're going to be so snap decisions that we cannot, we absolutely cannot theorize and theologize, there's such a word, about it. So if you feel that Bill Gates is your worst enemy, then you act on that. To me, we have so many, and I'm an African-American man, we have so many, it's hard to pick them out.
No,
what do we think? If I had known that Cecil Rhodes, if I couldn't push Cecil Rhodes out in front of a truck, I would have pushed his behind a long time ago, using him as an example.
Frank, why did you say Giuliani was someone that you've seen as a big enemy? Because I'm curious from your point of view, because different areas of the world have various people that they see as against the general oneness of peace, love, and prosperity. So I'm curious why you mentioned Giuliani.
Well, I mentioned, I purposely said Adolf Giuliani. Now, I know that you think that it's I'm talking about someone else, but I may or may not be. But I'm talking about the guy that was universally disliked for a number of reasons when that person was may or may not have been operating in New York. Universally disliked
Are you saying Rudolph here?
Rudolph Giuliani or Adolf Giuliani?
Well, I choose the term Adolf Giuliani, so it's up to you whether you want to transliterate that to something else.
the former mayor of New York City. That's the person you're talking about, the former prosecutor. Isn't he Trump's attorney? Or was Trump's attorney?
It's possible.
That's the name that's coming up when I Google search it as well.
Well, the question is, if we're confronted with those that are so traumatic down the road, what do we do if we see that their demise would cause us to change or question? And if you, for example, someone on the panel said if they saw Adolf Hitler at the crossroads, they'd push him in. Why? How do you know that? If you know that he's going to be a detriment to the human family, then maybe you should. I don't know that because I know that
I wouldn't push somebody into the path of the truck. But if they're walking into the path of the truck, that's their karmic line. If I save them from their karma that they gave themselves, do I take on board the karma of that person from everything bad or good they do after that? You see, I don't have to. And if it was Bill Gates, I'm sorry. He's done enough harm to this planet right now, and I will probably celebrate him exiting this earth.
What if it was a small child? Would you intervene then?
I would intervene.
Absolutely. I don't know about
the harm they've already done. You know,
assaulting a child, that person would have to go.
I would more than likely sacrifice my own self in front of the truck to save a child.
Right.
Yeah, whatever you have to do. If it's a child involved, no, that person, whoever was involved in threatening that child, they would have to go. They'd have to go.
You would sacrifice yourself to save a child. I would instinctively.
You mean a child on a platform with the train?
Yeah, but Absolutely. You know, I would see these films sometimes with baby carriage going toward the edge of the platform and stuff. Yes. But to see and know it was Bill Gates himself who had knowing who himself had walked in front of the path of a truck that was going to hit him. If I had time, I probably would pull my phone out and film it.
You know what I've found, guys, is that those who say that they are the most religious and adhere to strict religious principles, here's what they would say. I don't have the right to choose, and I don't have the right to take away. So they would rather allow atrocity, which might include millions and millions of people, because of some principle about thou shalt not kill. That I find stunning. Absolutely.
I'm not one of those people. I don't do organized religion at all. I think my spirituality is for me to have inside. I don't think that our source can be found in one book. I think we ourselves must seek the source of creation or the source of the energy that writes this matrix we call the reality of this lifetime. And anybody else with a religious book or something, that's cool, you know, that they found something that makes them be a beautiful person. I'm all for that. You know, I don't trounce on other people's religions either. Everybody has their own oneness in this world. That's like a big vote toward what can happen and what's good and what's not. And the big vote gets its way. That's kind of how I see it. So my oneness is different than others. And sometimes we share the same oneness.
Okay. Thank you, caller, for calling in. We're going to go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Okay.
Hey there, guys. You tweaked my memory here about wolves in sheep's clothing. Have you ever heard of that expression, wolves in sheep's clothing?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
I came upon a presentation by that, and then Fabian Society, Communitarianism, and New World Order, which I'll call the Noahide World Order. And so wolves in sheep's clothing, Fabian Society, Communitarianism, NWO. It's only 7 minutes. I saw it 2 years ago on YouTube. George Bernard Shaw, whom I knew nothing about, but I saw in Hitchcock Synagogue of Satan, 1925, George Bernard Shaw was awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature. Well, anyway, in this presentation of 7 minutes, he is actually, I believe he was filmed, and he made the declaration that if the Goyim Gentiles could not justify their existence, then they, the oligarchical elitists, would just kill us in a kindly manner. His exact, near exact words. And then, as I mentioned, JINSA, Jewish Institute National Security Affairs, JINSA. I knew nothing about them. I found them after Henry Mako had interviewed somebody. And by the way, if you go to henrymako.com and you search at his site, Creative Destruction, Creative Destruction will bring you into stellar comprehension of the ultimate promulgators, purveyors, orchestra masters of all this evil. JINSA, it's called Law Enforcement Exchange Program, Jewish Voices for Peace, Ellis Rothschild, in 2015 at the Washington Report Middle East Affairs. And this is the National Press Club. Every year, sometime in March, for 3 or 4 days. She cited it as the Deadly Exchange Program, the Deadly Exchange Program. The tactic that was demonstrated in Minnesota and other many, many other venues, as Rob had said, shoot and ask questions later. Well, they do that. The IDF, Mossad, they do that on a daily basis, not only in Israel on the Palestinians, but all throughout Africa. All throughout Africa.
Excuse me, Carla. Are you the individual that called in last night?
You bet.
I bet.
And okay, by the way, Hitler, have you guys ever heard of the Dresden Conference that was held in Dresden, Germany in 1882? I'm sure you haven't.
I've heard of it.
So the Dresden Conference, as I have learned from Lark in Texas, who I would refer to as RBN's resident scholar, history scholar, the people of Germany in 1882 had become immensely offended, incensed by the pervasive existence of homosexuality, all sorts of sexual perversion, brothels everywhere, the usury banking system that had put the country into severe deficit. So they held the conference to decide what would be the most diplomatic measure to eradicate this pestilence. So they decided, well, ultimately, they would allow, and this is after Hitler was elected. And by the way, I am not a Hitler scholar. I am not a Hitler aficionado. All I know is what I've learned from RBN. And John Stadtmiller, a couple years ago, prominently featured a documentary by the title, Hitler, Greatest Story Never Told. Hitler, Greatest Story Never Told. He said it totally blew him away. Totally blew him away. And they interviewed a guy by the name of Tom Goodrich. Tom Goodrich, author of Firestorm. So they firebombed numerous cities in Germany. Allied forces that had no strategic, no military significance at all. They were purely and simply civilian targets. In a vengeful act due to what the people of Germany had decided was not in their best interest. A usury monetary system that has got this country in a stranglehold is exactly what happened at that point in time. And look at hell I would. Look at all the perverse satanic crap emanating from hell I would. And then I remember when I was in high school, Hustler magazine, a Screw magazine, Larry Flint, L. Goldstein, fine upstanding Jewish God's chosen members.
Yeah, and they shot the shit out of him, too. But, Germany was being...
All I'm getting at here is...
For World War One, reparations for that. That's what put them in...
It's a recurring historic phenomenon that these satanic Jews, who by all forms of intrigue and nefarious activity, manage to dupe the indigenous people into thinking. Somebody mentioned Jesus. Well, there's a professor by the name of Peter Schaefer at Princeton, author of Jesus in the Talmud. And one of the infamous citations from that masterful scholarship is that Jesus is boiling in a cauldron of human excrement for eternity, according to Shabbat Lubavitch rabbis, who are prominently featured in Peter Schaeffer's scholarship, Jesus in the Talmud. Now,
but do you have a question
even
or
Patton,
a comment?
Even General Patton in June of 45, he was assigned as Governor General of Germany to forcibly remove the people of Germany from their private homes.
For what purpose?
Why? Because, the displaced Holocaust survivors, they needed a safe shelter. And so, General Patton, we are counting on you to evict the German people from their homes. And he wouldn't do it, of course.
This was after the war, you're saying? He was appointed military.
He was the governor general. That was his assignment after the war, June of 45. And you can look it up. I didn't know it. I stumbled upon a presentation on YouTube by the title, General Patton's Warnings Against Communism. General Patton's Warnings Against Communism. It's about 15 minutes. And they get into all this. Not the firebombings, but, you know, General Patton's plight after World War II. And he was murdered. There's no question about the fact he was murdered.
Wasn't he killed in a car accident where he broke his neck?
Yeah. Well, you do a little due diligence on that, okay? And while you're at it, do some due diligence on the Hell I Would Hola hoax. Because
caller, thank you very much. Listen, we have to get on to the next caller. I want to thank you for calling in. Please call again tomorrow night. Please, let's get the next caller on the line.
Thank you.
All right.
Hey, gentlemen, thanks for letting me in. I just wanted to comment on the Minnesota things, the psychology, which I can't quite comprehend of it. But I think this is a pseudoscientific Bolshevikism. But the protesters are becoming the thing they're protesting, because they're destructing businesses and things that have nothing to do with what took place. Yet it's like these are opportunists that just want to break things, and they're giving the real protesters a bad name, and it just doesn't make sense how they pretend like they're complaining about a wrong, which is proper, and then they go and commit 100 different wrongs in the process, which is putting that mayor in such a predicament that he's got to bring out the force that he doesn't want to bring out because of a few ne'er-do-wells. And it just boggles my mind.
Hey, caller, that's a really good synopsis you have there. But you have to understand that in a lot of these situations, there's a lot of government provocateurs. I've worked with people or interviewed people who came from Occupy. In Occupy, you had police dressed as protesters throwing bricks through windows because all it takes is one to do it. And what that really allows the police to do is to expedite the force to quell the resisting so it doesn't get out of hand, because at some point it can get to a point where they can't handle it. So they actually maybe the first person throw a brick, let's say, through the AutoZone window, and guess what? Somebody sees that, guess what they do? They throw a brick too. And you'll find that to be true in a lot of these instances. Even at Standing Rock, where they had the cops that burnt down their own vehicle, you had it at you'll see it very common in protests where they want to expedite it, and the only way for them to do that is to make it worse than it is very quickly. So
absolutely. And in other riots also, you'll find individuals that go into the afflicted area, and they'll use that as a guise to commit murder. They'll indiscriminately start killing people, and you know, they just come from outside of that area. They have nothing to do with Minneapolis whatsoever, but because it's turmoil and it's unrest that's going on, they'll go up there and look at it. Well, this is a perfect opportunity for me to practice my trade of being a serial killer. Kill as many people as I can. There's no law and order. The cops are huddled down in the police headquarters. They get a free rein. Commit murder.
Right.
It's happened before.
So you gotta wonder who benefits, and I know a bunch of lawyers benefit, but they're kind of like the middleman. The bankers are the ones that really benefit because they get paid for the repairs of all the destruction. So, you know, so I look at that level, and the guy who's talking about the, you know, the bankers and the financials, and I think that's where it rests.
Well, also power. There's a lot of power in new regulation that will allow them to collect more metadata and make more money, especially in the medical terms.
Well, if you looked at Michigan when they was at the Capitol and they had guns, they didn't start tearing up stuff. They just protested and, you know, in a proper way. I wish they would have got out of their cars. But they didn't go destructing things. And it seems in other places, there's the provocateurs that just want to tear up things, you know, with the opportunity. And then you get the ne'er-do-well to just do it because they can. But there's someone else behind it, and that's the one hard thing to figure out.
Well, people will take advantage of an opportunity if it presents itself. They see a store window shattered and they can just walk in and pretty much just, you know, have at it. People will take advantage of an opportunity if it presents itself in front of them. So I don't know if that's just human nature. Everyone is not the same. It's like a situation where three people are walking down the road. A truck is coming directly at them. One person will jump to the left, one will jump to the right, and one may stand right there and get ran over by the truck. Identical situation, three different people, three different reactions. So it's just hard to say.
Well, I'd like to refer you to a gentleman, Hal Anthony. He does a blog, Behind the Woodshed, and he's for the good guys. He's for the guys like us that want a true and truth and justice remedy. And he's a good gentleman to listen to because he's all about doing things without trespassing. And thanks for letting me in.
Okay, that's all the time we have for the show. I want to thank my co-host and our guest, Christian T. Harris, for coming on the show. And one more time, drop the link working into your program very quickly.
TheRundownLive.com/live. TheRundownLive.com.
There you have it, guys. Please support our network. Support his. Catch us tomorrow.
Big love.
You guys rock. It was a good time.
All right. Talk to you tomorrow.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.